Hi there, everybody. My name is Laura Kellen-May from ThistleRidgeStables.com and Equestrian Skill Builders on Facebook. Good afternoon, everybody, and our guest today is Dr. Alan Schoen from Salt Spring Islands in Vancouver, Canada. And so, Dr. Schoen, can you tell us a little bit about what you do, please?
Yeah, thank you for having me, Laura. Essentially, I'm one of the pioneers in integrative holistic veterinary medicine, an author, social entrepreneur, and visionary, and I'm currently developing different approaches for a more compassionate approach to animal health care.
Now, what does holistic veterinary medicine entail? That's something that kind of interests me, and there seems to be a lot more interest in that type of thing in the holistic veterinary medicine application. So what are some things that would be a little bit different than, quote, regular veterinary medicine as opposed to holistic veterinary medicine?
Well, holistic, the term has so many connotations and understandings and misunderstandings. My approach, my definition of holistic is much more integrative. It includes the best of Western medicine and surgery, but expands the different healing options way beyond limiting it to medicine and surgery, incorporating complementary therapies such as acupuncture, botanical medicine, various manual therapies such as chiropractic and osteopathy, as well as other healing modalities such as laser therapy, therapeutic ultrasound, as well as the way I keep on expanding it in my search for an exploration of what is ultimate healing. It includes mind-body medicine, the importance of bringing back health and balance to our hearts and our minds so that we can be part of a greater, more expansive approach to animal healing.
Okay, well, that's quite in depth there. But now, we're talking about you and your product book that you're working on. And how did you get started with your product and your book that you're working on?
My latest book, The Compassionate Equestrian, has evolved from my continued exploration of the question that's been the theme for my whole veterinary career: what is ultimate healing for all beings? And I was beginning to feel that any new approach to animal health care was almost like putting a Band-Aid on the Titanic, so to speak. And through various personal experiences, I felt that the key to create a deeper, more permanent healing of animals was to help heal the hearts and minds of human caretakers of our animal companions. And so that's what led me to my vision of creating the Compassionate Equestrian and the Compassionate Equestrian Movement. Then through various synchronicities, I came to the realization that developing compassionate heart and mind was really the essence of creating a more compassionate, healthier, happier world. While I was working on a book for all animal lovers, my co-author, Susan Gordon, a holistic horse trainer, approached me about creating a film or a book on a more compassionate approach to being with horses. Together, we discussed our different perspectives, hers from being a holistic horse trainer and mine from being a holistic integrative veterinarian, and we felt that the combination could be a benefit to all horses and all horse lovers.
So it sounds like this kind of evolved from your veterinary practice, and then you met up and networked with your co-author, Susan, and it just kind of formed together into it gelled somewhat. You just met all the right things, kind of fell into all the right places, and grew into one compassionate book.
Exactly. I mean,
right.
It was not just my veterinary career, but also I was asked to be involved in some approaches that are based on the Charter for Compassion and developing more compassionate approaches at universities and compassionate cities. And I said, wait a minute, this fits perfectly in alignment with what I feel is needed for the horse world, is creating a more compassionate approach to horse health and to the health of horse lovers.
So in your veterinary practice, do you specialize in equine veterinary medicine?
At different times in my career, I focused on small animal and or horses, as well as all animals. But for the last 20 years, yes, my focus has been primarily on equine sports medicine and pioneering new approaches to chronic problems that didn't respond to conventional medicine and surgery, and developing my unique approaches, which in the book I term, you know, different things from musculoskeletal alignment rather than using the term chiropractic. And also there are different approaches that I've developed, integrating the best of acupuncture, chiropractic, osteopathy, herbal medicine, nutrition into one comprehensive approach.
So it's one big, holistic, horse care, compassionate application. Not just focusing on one certain part of medical practice, it's everything and how it works together.
Exactly. The closest thing in human medicine to what I do is what is termed physiatry. And I coined the terms equine physiatry and veterinary physiatry. But the more expansive view that I have is that one of the keys to healing our horses is healing ourselves. And that is where I'm bringing in the neuroscience and quantum physics of compassion and creating more healthier, happier, more compassionate horse lovers, horses, horse barns, horse communities, and horse shows, and the bigger picture.
Very interesting that it's like the circles. You have to be, for your horse to be healthy, you have to be healthy, and you bring your horse health by bringing yourself to a healthy state.
Thank you for really summarizing it like that, Laura. That's exactly it. It is full circle. And with that, we offer in the Compassion Equestrian, we offer what we call the 25 principles of compassionate equitation. And there are some very simple things that you can integrate right away, immediately after reading it, into your life and into your life with your horses. And the feedback we're getting from riders, trainers is absolutely incredible and so reaffirming that we're on the right track of creating a more compassionate world.
Okay, so we're going to be talking about equitation in a little bit. Now, you've been in business for a while. So what do you think the number one thing is holding people back from doing what they want to do?
These days, it seems that there are endless ways that one can so easily become distracted. I sense that distraction from one's passion keeps everyone so busy. I term it busy mind traffic. And if one takes time to create times of what we call quiet focus intention and quiet themselves inside for a period of time each day, then one can come from a clearer, more peaceful place inside regarding what they would like to do. And I would say that quieting the mind and the heart is the key thing that holds people back from what they want to do.
So you think it's kind of like people need to take a little bit of time, maybe do some yoga or some meditation and just kind of sift through all the crap that they have to do through the day and just let things relax and come through.
Exactly. Yoga is great. The key is creating what neuroscience is showing is creating like 10 minutes of silence, of meditation, each day, and within 2 weeks, you can actually change your brain and become happier and healthier. So what I suggest to riders is when you get to the horse barn, before you start interacting with your horse, take 10 minutes in your car, in the tack room, or somewhere quiet, and just slowly take in a deep breath, quiet yourself, go into a state of inner peace, and then from out of that, create the intention to have the best, healthiest, happiest moments with your horse. And that actually I'm finding is really having tremendous benefit for people and their horses.
I agree with you then. You know, sometimes when we're out riding and going out to the stable, we bring all of our stress from the day back to the stable with us, and the horse certainly feels that. So I guess taking 10 minutes just to relax and refocus helps to set the type of ride that you're going to have with your horse.
Exactly. It sets the tone for the ride, and what it does even more than that, it helps deepen the bond between you and your horse. because there are things I talk about in the book, what I call the transspecies field theory and the compassionate field theory. And what that is that when we connect to our horses at a deeper level without the anger, the busy mind traffic, the frenetic energy that inevitably happens from being in the world and being busy, and we quiet to that, the horses recognize that and they go, oh, that feels better. And they also don't feel the tension in our bodies when we're on top of them. But they realize, oh, wow, my person is light and caring and gentle. And so there's a whole other level of communication between you and your horse that unfolds.
Yeah, I agree with you there for sure. You certainly see, well, I do some riding teaching, so I'm an instructor / coach, and I certainly see the people who come buzzing into the stable from the end of their work day, they do bring all their stresses with them, and that certainly shows on their horse when they put their foot in the stirrup. The tension is there, but relaxing, breathing will help to remove some of that so you can get a deeper bond. I certainly can see that.
Yeah, exactly. Laura, one of the examples I give in some of my books in Kindred Spirits and in The Compassion Equestrian is one time, and it's not just one time, but one time that comes to my mind is one client who was a very successful business executive in New York. And their horse, their complaint was their horse was always nervous and anxious and there must be a problem. And their primary care veterinarian did an excellent job of evaluating any possible lameness or any possible that could create that nervousness and anxiety in the horse, couldn't find anything. And then she had me come in and I evaluated the horse from my holistic integrative approach and also found that there was really nothing that was creating any pain in the horse. And then the client walked in, all anxious and nervous, and all of a sudden the horse's ears went back and it tightened up. And I went, ah, okay, the real prescription here, and I wrote down, I talked to her and I said, the prescription is for you to stop before you get on your horse, sit down, take some deep, slow breaths, and that actually changes your physiology. It rebalances your sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system, and you get much calmer and more peaceful, and then focus on that. That's your intention when being with your horse, is that you have a calmer, more peaceful, more loving, more compassionate ride. And she later emailed me and said, thank you so much. That was it. And it's totally changed my riding and my experience with my horse and I.
Yeah. Well, I can certainly see that happening because horses are so sensitive, aren't they? So as far as the business side of things go, why do you think people are not going for their interest in the business and in a horse business type of thing?
My sense is that everyone is just so busy and so easily distracted by endless social media, endless to-do lists, and they go from one distraction to another, ignoring one of the most important things in life, and that's taking care of themselves and their animals in a loving and compassionate way. And one of my favorite sayings when I offer workshops and trainings is, one fills their life with distractions until they die, unless they wake up. And every choice we make is an opportunity to create more distraction in our lives or to use that as an opportunity to wake up. The choice is ours in each and every moment.
So when you're traveling and working and riding, what is the biggest setback that you think people face when they're trying to do what they want to do?
Again, what I find is the biggest setback seems to be our busy mind traffic and endless to-do lists. Becoming clear on what your passion is and what you would most like to do to be a benefit to the world and focusing your attention on that will create the foundation for you to create the passions that you want to manifest and create in your life.
So my next question is, how did you come up with your idea for the book? But that's really what we've been talking about for the last, 10-15 minutes. But how did you come up with this idea?
Well, I was working on a book like The Compassion Equestrian for all animal lovers based on my 38 years of experience as a veterinarian and asking myself what the next step of exploring what is ultimate healing. And then Susan, my co-author, introduced herself to me and said, gee, I would like to do something like that for horses. And through long discussions on exploring that, the Compassion and Equestrian book evolved and unfolded.
Okay, so that is how you came about with your Compassionate Horsemanship book with your co-author. And what do you think the number one reason people get ahead with their ideas and their goals when others don't?
I would say one needs to have a vision and a passion for what they want to do. And then the other key thing is to have the persistence to create it despite all the inevitable obstacles along the way.
Now, did you have some obstacles when you were setting out, well, specifically for this book, let's say, with working with your co-author? Did you have some obstacles? And what was one of the major roadblocks or obstacles you experienced?
Well, you know, one of them was my own mind. And because I realized, okay, I've been pioneering complementary and alternative and integrative medicine for 38 years. And when I first started, everyone said, oh, all there is medicine and surgery, and you're crazy. There is nothing else. But being persistent and knowing that everything I was presenting was evidence-based and science-based, I persisted and pioneered this whole integrative approach. Now, so one of my major roadblocks this time was, again, saying, oh, my gosh, I'm stepping out on a limb again, and realizing that integrating the neuroscience and quantum physics of compassion and creating a greater, more expansive view of what the horse-human connection is, everyone's going to think I was crazy. So part of it was my own mind. But once I started lecturing on this and teaching it, everyone was so excited about this, I realized, okay, I need to let go of my own fears and my own concerns. And I realized that it could be quite a challenge to help people look at themselves and their lives with a more expansive view of how they might want to be a benefit to all beings. So sometimes what I realize is that question is not being asked. And if one doesn't ask the right questions, you won't come up with the right answers. So having people explore these deeper questions in the midst of our busy lives and our busy minds can be quite challenging. So creating the Compassion Equestrian Movement based on the 25 principles in the book takes time, focus, and effort. And also letting go of our fears that we can't do it, we're not good enough, that this is crazy. That is one of the other big roadblocks, again, is our own mind. So I'm pleased to see how many equestrians are reading the book, recognizing the essence of the message and shifting their perspective and approach to create a more compassionate equestrian community, and through that, helping to make a happier, healthier place for all beings. So to summarize, basically, I think the biggest roadblocks are our own minds and our own fears and our busyness.
Okay, so now you said in your answer, you said have people explore these deeper questions. So what specific deeper questions in the midst of our busy lives and busy minds, what are those questions? Well, what's one of those questions that we should be contemplating as we go throughout our lives or on our way to the stable or when we're riding or cooling off our horse?
Well, I think that will vary from person to person based on looking at themselves. But what I found is that the questions that have been beneficial for me are asking, okay, if I have X number of hours left on the planet, no one knows what that is or how long it is, and you know, I'm grateful I'm basically healthy, how may I be of benefit to all beings? And how through my ride and my riding, when I get to the horse barn, how can I be of most benefit to my horse, to myself, to everyone else in the barn? And from that, then it inevitably expands out to everyone that they meet each day.
Okay, so it's not about us. It's not about me personally, but it's about what I can offer or what is the benefit I can offer to other people?
Yes, Laura, exactly. What they find in neuroscience these days is when we focus on being of benefit to others, the areas in our brain, in the prefrontal cortex for joy and happiness light up. And so that of being a benefit to everyone actually makes us happier and healthier. And that's part of, I think, why we are with horses. One of the many, many reasons is we want to have a deeper connection with another being. And then through the distraction, the busy mind traffic, all of that, we can tend to lose that priority of wanting to be there with our horse and helping them. And when we bring it back to that focus, how can I be a benefit to my horse and to myself and all other beings, it actually makes us healthier and happier.
I think I understand that. Okay, so now what was the big aha moment when you knew you overcame some of your roadblock, kind of the fear that you have when you're setting out on a new adventure?
Well, the key is actually exactly what I share in the book, is when I quieted my own mind and when I listened to my deep, silent inner voice and knew deep in my heart that the approaches that we discuss in the Compassion Equestrian were some of the keys to ultimate healing, to help horses, horse lovers, and the world. It's like one of those things, if we don't create the silence to listen to that deep inner silent voice, we're never going to hear it. So the big aha moments come from creating the quiet.
Okay, so knowing your own mind and just kind of letting the important things come sifting through the top during those quiet times.
Exactly. Knowing our own heart and mind.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Schoen, and hope to see you in the future.
Yes, thank you so much for all that you're doing, Laura.
Okay, thank you.
Hey.